This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Off the Record with Chicago Line is brought to you by the Bahamas Liquidation Center, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Doctors Hospital, Dunkin' Donuts, the Fincastle Media Group, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to D-Live. I'm Tobago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, today after Father's Day. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If today on the show you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Island on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. You know, I did Mother's Day show. Had no interruptions. Did the show to the end. All the mothers were able to enjoy that special show for them. Tried to do the Father's Day show. Couldn't finish it. Technical difficulties. Mainly because it seems both the Grandmama Power Company and BGC had issues. Wouldn't come back on. Had no telephone, I had no internet, I had no telephone service, and we therefore could not finish our Father's Day show. I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry about that because fathers get such a bad rap around these times, so bad a rap. And we couldn't finish up a special day for fathers. Ah, boy, I know technical things happen. Listen to me. BGC, listen to me. I'm a long-standing customer of BGC. They've been trying to get me a switch for a long time. Don't hit your head. I ain't trying to switch. I'm not trying to switch. I've had very good service from BGC. Very good. I have no complaints, even when I travel. Generally speaking, I have very good service from BGC. But lately, and I mean like lately, I mean like within the last year, EDC, you all need to work a work, man, on some front. And what I'm saying to you now publicly, I've said to your folks privately, you know, I get my cable service from BTC, and I have not been able to watch. BTC, I hope you're listening. I have not been able to watch my cable consistently for almost a year and a half. That's the truth. Like, I don't know what the boxes are, what the problem are with the boxes, but so you don't have to worry. I ain't going nowhere. I mean, not right now. I'm not going anywhere unless. But man, y'all step it up, okay? Maybe other people ain't experiencing these challenges, right? Maybe it's just me. And I ain't talking about other people because other people that's them. I'm talking about my service provider. by the way, y'all called me almost a year ago and said, you know what? We have fiber optic in your area now. And if you're interested, we'd like to hook you up. I said, absolutely. Okay, somebody will reach out to you shortly. That was almost a year ago. When I come on the show, I talk the good and the bad, right? So don't get mad with me. If you get mad with me, hey, I'm a customer. What can I do? Okay. Today, I had the opportunity to listen to a part of the Honorable Keith Bell's presentation on the budget. He was the government's last speaker before the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. I heard only a portion of his speech. I had the opportunity to hear the Prime Minister wrap up, and I heard it almost the entire speech by the Prime Minister. And can I say something to you today? The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance gave a very good wrap-up speech. Very good. Very good wrap-up speech. Now, let me explain what I mean. It doesn't matter to me what your politics is. Politics are, right? You could be FNM or PLP, DNA or CRI. Love what I say, get mad at what I say. It really doesn't make one bit of difference to me. To this extent, I am going to share with you the experience I had listening to the Prime Minister's presentation. So let me say firstly that the Prime Minister gave a very good wrap-up speech. First of all, his was solid. He was confident. He was at ease and comfortable with his content. He was clear and articulate in his presentation. So that's about the form of his presentation. In terms of the content, and see, some of us do not listen well. So let me try to be clear as I can be, to say what I have to say. In terms of his content, the Prime Minister gave a very good defense of his administration's efforts. He gave a fairly fulsome account of what he believes they have achieved, whether that's the cutting of VAT or the improvement in the economy's growth, the tourism numbers, or the government's financial performance in terms of the improvement in revenue, the improvement in debt to GDP, the improvement in the fiscal deficit, all of which, statistically speaking, for the most part, could not be argued with. Now, I have some issues with some things the Prime Minister said, I'll talk about those another time, and I've spoken to some of those already. But in terms of the case for the improvement of the government's fiscal circumstances vis-a-vis what they were when he came to office, there was not a lot to be argued with there. Okay, you could argue, oh, it should have been better, but that, anybody could argue that any day, any time. He gave a clear report on that. Whether it had to do with the feeding program at the Ministry of Education, etc. His thoughts about their housing program, his thoughts about PPL, he gave a more fulsome vision of what they are doing. Still no details about the actual deal, but he gave a defense of their rationale for proceeding as they proceed with all the options that were available to them, etc. The Prime Minister gave a very good wrap-up and account of his stewardship. Now, remember, this is not about whether Shivago Lang or anybody else agrees with all of what he says or some of what he says or none of what he says. It's irrelevant. If you were someone, as I was, observing the Minister of Finance and Prime Minister give his wrap-up in the House of Assembly, I walked away thinking, That's a very good wrap-up. Very good wrap-up. Right? You can, I could have debated him on any number of fronts. Right? But that's irrelevant to the fact, though, that he was giving a cogent case for his administration. And those who were watching him, who support him, I think would have been proud of what they saw Brian do. And so, you know, now, let me also say, now I listened to Minister Keith Bell, who gave, I think, you know, and also a fairly good case for his ministry and his government, his administration, the one to which he belongs, more partisan and caustic, but nonetheless, you know, giving a defense of his administration effort. But the prime minister was more erudite. He was more erudite. He was more in command of the circumstances of his presentation. And so those who are his believers and followers would have, I think, been proud of him. You know what I mean? If you put your politics aside as a prime minister, Minister of Finance, that's a very good presentation by our prime minister and our minister of finance. Now, what I also appreciated was the leader of the opposition also had some objections to some things said by the prime minister, and he got up and stated those objections. And I thought that they had a mature exchange in the process. It was not ugly. It was not, you know, it had the usual political sparring and some gestures and so forth and so forth. But it really is for the moment. I'm not saying the overall debate was this, but it was for the moment the kind of debate that one would like to see more often, because even the challenge of the leader of the opposition to the content, to the presentation of the prime minister, was about the content and about the veracity of, you know, rather than personality related things, right? And the prime minister, in his retort, you know, hit at some of the, you know, political points, but again, speaking seemingly more to the content of things. That to me, I walked away from it thinking, you know, wow, nice. I had moments where I objected to some things Prime Minister said, in terms of thinking to myself, I know better from a content point of view. For instance, the Prime Minister continues this narrative of the kind of economy he met, but, you know, okay, no problem. That's it. But still, it was his defense of his administration's efforts. The other thing was that, for instance, the prime minister, I thought, when he made the point about the 100,000 people that they were, 100,000 people that they were children they were feeding in the school program, was rebuffed by the leader of the opposition, who said, but the reason why you're feeding 100,000 people is children is because the children's parents cannot feed them. You have a problem. You have an economic problem because there are lots of unemployed parents who would rather be able to feed their own children, but you got to feed them. And which was a very good point, by the way. And the prime minister's retort to that was not a strong one, because his retort to that was, well, you know, we have to feed children and we want to feed them, and there are more people working now than not. It didn't strongly address that valid point. But the exchange was a mature exchange. It wasn't a nasty exchange. It wasn't a petty exchange. It was an exchange based on the idea and the ideas of the two combatants, right? And I think I thought it, that was a good moment for the Parliament of the Bahamas. And perhaps maybe some more moments like that could be grand for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So well done, Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, and well done, Minister, Leader of the Opposition in those moments, all right? We the more we can have ideological changes about our ideas, right? So I heard the Prime Minister say, for instance, that the Bahamian people should be careful or cautious of those who attack what they attempt to do, and so forth and so forth. I mean, and I thought to myself, but the Prime Minister, with the greatest respect, when you were in opposition, and when you were in government as Deputy Prime Minister, I mean, this was a standard play for the politics of the time. You would attack what minister approached, how he approached things, what he did. I mean, this was part of your remit as leader of the opposition. As opposition, that was your part of your this isn't a personal something that Bahamians ought to warn the opposition to whatever weaknesses they believe, or concerns or challenges they believe, to your efforts. That is helpful and healthy for our country. I don't think that could be structured in a way as somebody being maliciously against your good efforts. This is part and parcel of our country's democracy, right? So we ought not to try to degrade that element of our process, because the opposition isn't called the "why don't you get on our side" group. The opposition is called the opposition. And where is it called that? In the Constitution of the Bahamas. Right? They could have been called the cooperators. They could have been called the collaborators. But they're not. They're called the opposition. They are opposed to you ideologically sometimes and what have you. So, a little bit tough. But overall, again, Prime Minister, to my mind, and I'm not talking about whether I agree entirely with all and whether I affirm the accuracy or truism of all. I thought the Prime Minister gave a very good defense and representation of his government's efforts. And I thought that the Leader of the Opposition did a good job in his interventions when he tried to try and have a debate about these matters. And first, that bodes well, I think. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Tobago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever try the rest, we'll roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters, zines, and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the...
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you wish to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796, that's 4224796, on 4393043, that's 4393043. So as I had indicated before, the debate in the House has been wrapped up by the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. And now they will push forward to the approval budget, meaning that each ministry and department heads will have to be voted upon by the members of the House of Assembly. Is that normally at that point that as the heads are moved, that you might have the opposition expressing some concern about the change, about the heads. And so, you know, it could be a long day, or it might not be a long day. That all depends on the extent of the detailed querying that the opposition makes as they move along the path. At that point, it is ordinarily expected that the government would answer those questions, and if they can't, it is an unusual to hear, well, we can get back to you, or something of that nature. So you can how that goes, and make up your own mind. What is it? As they like to say, the devil is in the details, and the details are in the individual head of the ministry. So all those movements, up or down, changes up or down, is something telling for the government's decision. Hi. So did anybody else get a chance to listen to the PM's speech? Had any thoughts about it? You know, I recommend getting a copy of the wrap-up, because the Prime Minister also not only gave a defense of himself and his administration, but also laid out the promises being made to the people of this country about the efforts he and his team are attempting to make. One of the things the Prime Minister said, and this is very specific, the Prime Minister said that next month, consumers of BPL can look on their bills and see changes in their bills in terms of the bill going down. The fuel surcharge should go down, and because of the equity rate adjustment, the first 200 kilowatts should be zeroed, and every kilowatt thereafter up to 800 kilowatts should be decreased, I think, by 1.15 percentage point or 1% decrease in that. And he said, it's not me, I did not say this, the Prime Minister said, check it. As he was speaking, I was thinking somebody should say, yeah, well, you could check it. This is something that you're able to track and check. So there were things like that delivered in the Prime Minister's speech that I thought was worth taking note of. And other things, because the Prime Minister was putting on the line his government promises in terms of saying, well, you don't believe me, just check it, right? Which I thought was quite bold of him. Anybody else got a chance to listen in, pay attention? Are you all not paying attention to the budget? I'm asking really seriously, are you not? I mean, if you listen to the PM, he many good things. He indicated that his administration is doing for the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And the question for you is whether or not whether you see or are experiencing that. And also on the front, the Prime Minister made very, very, very clear and positive indications of outcomes to be experienced and felt by the Yemeni people, whether it was in the electricity, energy reform efforts and the like. So I'm saying that you should take note of those things and, you know, familiarize yourself with them. I have to say, sitting down, you walk away with a positive sense of movement, you know? And that's good. That's good. The only thing that's left is the experience, the experiences to be had. In actuality, based on what the Prime Minister said. So we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Tobago Lang, your host. You can take another break. We'll be back after this break.
You happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Whopper and new Angry Chicken Sandwich at Burger King Nassau. It's time to get angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious spicy ingredients on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today, only at Burger King Nassau.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Bahamas Liquidation and Auctions Stop Shop, where you can get all of your groceries, kids' lunch snacks, and vendor snacks items at the best prices in town. Don't believe us? Find us on Mackey Street in the red, white, and black building south of Chesapeake Road. We don't stock anything. We just buy deals, so you better get there first. Call us today at 698-0123 or WhatsApp 557-2522. Or follow us on Facebook and Instagram for daily updates. Remember, always make us your first stop.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus one together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy two adults and three children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center, Chesapeake Road, Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus one. Restrictions apply.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking on upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power, major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. From the Comedy Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, while I listened to the Prime Minister's wrap up, I had commendations for the strength of his wrap up. I heard the Prime Minister say some things that caused me some concern to this extent. The Prime Minister talked about people who were being paid to offer critique of them, and that the Bimini people should not listen to them. He talked about those sitting in judgment of their conduct, and you know, who seemed like they were not willing to support the benefits that were being gotten to the Bahamian people. He talked about the BPL endeavors of the government and how he spoke to Bahamians and no Bahamian he spoke to didn't want to see lower electricity rates and more reliable electricity. And these are all debating tactics that are intended to, one, garner sympathy for your cause, two, provide suspicion for those who would offer criticism, and three, in some ways even, make you feel timid about doing so, right? Jesus Christ himself was not above criticism. God is not above criticism. People criticizing God and Christ and faith all day long. But it is especially true that a government will find itself under criticism because the government got where it is by criticizing those who were there before, in large measure. That's part and parcel of our politics. But we should not make of others enemies. So for instance, the Prime Minister says, those who are paid to. Well, with the greatest respect, having been in politics, the government, the administration, pays people to make itself look good. The people who are on the staff of the Ministry of the Office of the Prime Minister, as media, public relations people, they are paid people. Paid to do what? Not to criticize the government. They are paid to make the government look good. There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But that's who they're paid for. Every single salaried person in the media department, in the government service, in the Prime Minister's office, are on the government look good. And that's a new thing in our politics. That was not always the case. The Ingram had no media people, public relations people hired in the government service, other than BIS, which was there from almost the inception of the independent Bahamas. But never had no press secretary and all these PR people inside there. There's a new thing over the last three or so administrations. They are paid to make the government look good. So let's suppose, I don't know this to be true, but let's suppose the opposition has paid people to try and make them look good and make the government look bad. Okay. isn't that a balancing of the democracy? Now, mind you, I don't know. I don't know that to be true. I'm just saying, though. That can't be fair. Right? The opposition is the opposition. It will, the bulk of its work will be critical. And I hear lots of people talk about, oh, you can't just oppose for opposing sake. Yes, you can. It's called devil's advocacy. And it is actually a tool in process improvement. Can I say that again? Opposing for opposing devil's advocacy. And it is actually a tool in process improvement. You sometimes have, in fact, if the government, if a party wins all the seats, because of the recognition of the need to have opposition for opposition's sake, it is not unusual that someone from the governing side will be appointed to be the opposition so that you have that opposition for opposition's sake. Because it's important. It's important to not have a government be able to just simply do what it wants to do and nobody able to say, you know what, that's not right. Or you know what, you could do that better. Or you could do that differently and better. It's important to have that. And in the absence of that, we would have a corrupt and absolutely terrible society. We would. We've seen what happens when people feel like their power is unfettered. We've seen that already in this country and all around the world. We don't want that. We don't need that, right? So I wouldn't even, like, why pay even attention to the challenge, the criticism? They said X, Y, and Z. This is untrue. And here's why this is untrue. That's what you need to do. They said that the building is painted black. Here are photos and videos of the building. It's white. See how they have not told the truth to you? Why do you have to cast aspersion on their motives? Except sometimes you know that others do. But sometimes we do. Sometimes. That's what happens. You know how I know. those letters to the editor, you think every letter to the editor is just some independent soul deciding I'm going to write something about the government, good, bad, or ugly? Really? If you believe that I have a bridge to sell you, and I will sell that bridge to you for $1.15. Then opposition and government, fraud, encourage, and assist their people, improvise time to time, praise and condemnation of things. I ain't asking nobody nothing. I just think that is not the way we want to do it. Because now you have people starting looking at people with these kind of funny look and so forth and so forth. You are not above criticism. And you're not below praise. Right? There are things for which the government ought to be praised. And there are things for which the government ought to be criticized. There are things for which the opposition ought to be praised. And there are things for which the opposition ought to be criticized. I heard in the Prime Minister's speech, even as he spoke, he was criticizing the former administration. He was talking about the former administration's poor judgment in handling of the pandemic. He talked about the former administration's poor handling of the fiscal affairs of the country. He talked about the poor the government's handling of the programs and things like that and so forth. So while condemning the criticism of others and casting aspersion on it, he was criticizing. But should someone cast aspersion on his critique of them and say, well, it is born of something other than just his actual belief in what in fact happened? Oh, all right. But this is our politics. And I just cast light on my observation of what I saw, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And today I saw some very good, I saw some bad, and I saw some ugly. And it'll be interesting to see how we proceed going forward. I think that all sides, and I thought that the Prime Minister made some good use of this. All sides ought to allow for the data and the evidence to speak to what they are seeking to do more, and what they are offering as a defense or an offense. And that way, what comes into play more often is objectivity in having the public assess what is being done and what is being said. And that could only benefit all of us in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us today here on Guardian Radio. We are going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I think you heard me say before that if I were the Prime Minister, I'm not sure if I said this privately to somebody or I said this to you all, but one of the two I did say. If I were Prime Minister, I would have argued this way about the growth. There is no question that the real growth in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is marginal. But by that I mean really we're not having exceptional growth, not in real terms, right? And the Prime Minister alluded to this today, you know, in terms of the real growth. And he said, you know, returning to real growth that was pre-pandemic is not our intention, is not what we think. We have to go beyond that, et cetera. But he did make a point that I either said on this show or I said to others. I said, if I were the Prime Minister, this is what I would argue. When you look at nominal growth, that's growth before you take account of inflation. That's growth before inflation eats at it. We have had impressive nominal growth to the tune of 9%+. That's impressive nominal growth.
that's the growth. If you believe the government is responsible for, then that's the growth we can control. We can control that. Let's say that's the growth the government is responsible for. Certainly it's the one that the government would claim responsibility for from its policies and what have you. And that not just the Davis administration, the Venice administration would have done it, the Ingram administration would have done it, the Christie administration, the Finley, they all would have done it, because you preside over the growth, you say that's the growth that I presided over, that we made happen, right? So you could control that. You could control that. But the inflation that eats into that growth, so that what happens is if the growth is 9% and inflation is 5%, then real growth becomes 4%. So now you don't look as good as 9%, you only look at 4%. If growth is 9% and inflation is 7%, then your real growth is 2%. So you get real growth by subtracting the inflation rate from the growth rate. And the reason is, if I'm getting an increase in income of 8-9%, but my cost is going up by 4%, well, in real terms, my purchasing power is not going up the same as my income. So that's why you tend to do just that. So the Prime Minister made this point that, you know, if you look at our real growth, our nominal growth, it is fairly high, and it really is tracking above many in our jurisdiction. It is that inflation eating into it that he says tamped down that growth. But now he then says, now we have to look at the deflator and see if whether or not the deflator has been inaccurately reflected. Says the IMF says that they're I'm puzzled by this, etc. Okay, I don't know all of that to be true. I mean, I'm saying I don't have any reason to disbelieve it, but the truth of the matter is, if there's something wrong with our deflator, there's been something wrong with our deflator for years then. So we'll have to go back years and years and revise our numbers. And if we do so, we may find that our growth numbers may have been handsomely better than was reflected in the past. That means through the Menes administration, the Christie administration, the Ingram administration, and so forth and so forth, because we have been using those metrics for a deflator for a long time. But he is not incorrect to point to the fact that but for the inflationary factor, the Bahamas' economy has demonstrated fairly good growth. And why not? We've had significant we turned up our economy. We had a significant response by the world to traveling to the Bahamas as a jurisdiction. That obviously brings with it an uptick in economic activity. We did not have, because of the pandemic, any structural damage to our economy. So when we turned it back up, it simply continued to flourish with the benefit of a boost in exuberance in travelers because of our proximity and what have you. And that helped to create a great deal of economic activity. The Prime Minister mentioned that he's got over $8 billion in investments approved. What I don't know is, see, investment does not contribute to economic growth and development until that investment actually begins to take root in the ground. But the Prime Minister does not extensively indicate how much of those investments are approved, as in approved but not yet started, how many are started, or what stage they are in their development. So we know, for instance, that in Grand Bahama, the Disney, the Carnival project is beginning, but it's not robustly on the way yet. We know that expansion to the container port is on its way, but they're doing a great deal of dredging. But in terms of broad economic impact in Grand Bahama, that's not substantial as yet. So you can have $8 billion in approved investments, but their ability to contribute to the economic growth of the country is limited until they actually get in the ground. And it's probably one of the reasons why we are not seeing the level of growth
that one would not been, those investments have not been mobilized. However, if $8 billion are approved, the Prime Minister says, I think in a previous statement, that they project some 7,000 new jobs created from those investments. When they materialize, that would be a good boost for the economy. But the question is, when will they materialize and over what period of time? Because if you have them materialize over a short period of time, you'll get a good boost to the economy. If they are gradual or in their contribution over a long period of time, you won't see the gains as handsomely as you would like. Right? So, but I did think that pointing to the nominal growth, this has been substantial, though impacted negatively by inflation, was a good argument on the part of the Prime Minister to create a distinction between what we can control for the most part, we think we say, and what we can't control. We don't control inflation. But you see, this is where I think the Prime Minister, unfortunately, has gotten caught in a trap. On the one hand, the Prime Minister to fight inflation, which means then you believe you can control it. Because if you can, why would you fight something you couldn't control? Right? When you can't control something, you simply have to work around it, understanding it to be part and parcel now of the circumstances that you are in. For instance, we can't control the sun. We can't control when it rises, when it sets. We can't control its heat. But we have learned to harness all of that to the benefit of the planet, to the benefit of ourselves to the extent possible, right? So you can't control inflation because that is rooted in places outside of the Bahamas. But the Prime Minister said they're trying to fight it. Well, that gives the impression you think you can control it. Well, on the one hand, you have nominal growth that you say you can control. On the other hand, you say that growth has been eaten into by inflation, which some days you could control and some days you can't control. That creates a bit of the conundrum for the PM in terms of his narrative on the point. The point was made in the House of Assembly today. It's how you look at things. Government, we feed 100,000 kids. Opposition, you have to feed the kids because things so bad. Present can't afford, the parents can't afford. Reality of things, so this in this country. Yeah, I spoke to that point. I spoke to both sides. You know, two things can be true, appear to be contradictory. And that's one of them. On the one hand, it's a good thing to be feeding 100,000 students breakfast. Two, it's a bad thing that 100,000 students need to be fed breakfast because their parents apparently cannot feed them breakfast. The two of those things are true. And so I thought that was a good little healthy tidbit between the two. The Prime Minister mentioned some things that they are doing in education. And to be honest with you, I do believe that in education, Minister Glynis Hannah-Martin is doing a good job in making progress, right? Of course, the public ain't never believe education. There are members of the public who will never believe we're doing anything in education until somebody says, oh, the national average is an A, a 90. It doesn't matter. If you are seeing better graduation rates, if you're seeing better performances in terms of national examinations, if you're seeing more participation by students, et cetera, those are all positive signs and good things happening in the education system. And while you could hope and want for more, that doesn't mean you have to ignore the good and positive results being had. I do believe and I do think that Minister Hannah-Martin is laser focused on what he's attempting to do. He seems extremely genuinely engaged and concerned about what he's trying to do, and is trying to ensure that he has the kind of information that can help make the kinds of policy decisions that make a difference. text says, Hi, Mr. Lang, I think I asked a similar question before. Okay, government owns 40% and the other side owns 60%. So the ones with more shares are in charge. That means whatever decisions they make, government has no say. Help me to understand. Thank you, Mr. Lang. If looked at, you are 100% correct. Those with 50% have the controlling interest in the company and can determine the direction of the company. However, it is possible for government to have an agreement with them that binds them to only be able to do certain things with the consent of the minority shareholders, meaning the government. So until we see the actual details of the agreement, we will not be able to know which is true. So while you could have controlling shares, you could yield some of your power through agreement to do certain things with your partner. That is possible. Okay? So, but we won't know that to be true unless we see the details. And, you know, the Prime Minister did make the point that he promises the Bahamian people that as soon as the ink dries on their agreement, that he will give the details to the Bahamian people. Right? The problem I find now is the Prime Minister and those have all this public relations out there, right? And the public relations is promising all these outcomes. Well, but the outcomes are dependent on the agreement with the parties you are negotiating with. Because if your ink hasn't dried, isn't it possible that your deal might not consummate at all? But then how then, therefore, are you out there promising things based on a deal that you say is not yet negotiated and therefore cannot provide details? That's the contradiction in what is happening now, is that the public relations around it seems like a fait accompli. You have all these fancy brochures, you have all these ads, and they are promising things that are contingent on this deal with these private sector entities that you are still not having the ink done. So you can't then turn around and be suspicious of or critical of people who are saying to you that you're not being transparent, you're not providing the details, when in point of fact, the way you are dealing with things is as if you are done. And yet still saying, as soon as the ink dries, you'll give the details. I think that's one of the challenges the Prime Minister faces in looking at and having people look at what is being done. Again, the Prime Minister talked about all these outcomes that they are seeking to achieve, and I agree with him 100%. Who would be opposed, and I said this on previous shows, who would be opposed to those outcomes? Lower electricity bills, more reliable electricity, more cleaner power. Only a person who is deranged would not want those things for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That's not the argument. I also indicated the argument isn't whether or not your partners are credible partners. I also said that they could be absolutely credible partners. But there is a way that the government is supposed to function in respect to transparency and accountability. It's a part of the way the government is supposed to function. And if people don't like how you're functioning in that respect, they will criticize you. That doesn't mean they don't want you to receive, they don't want the outcomes you are seeking to produce. That doesn't mean that they dismiss or condemn the entities that you are participating with. They are saying to you, while you achieve outcomes for themselves, you have a duty and a responsibility to be trustworthy. That's the reality. That's what is taught in public service. That's what it's taught in public policy. That's what it's taught, right? So So we shouldn't. I heard Minister Keith Bell make a similar point. He said to the Minister for Energy, the Member of Parliament for Elizabeth, just get it done. The people just want you to get it done. No, the people don't just want you to get it done. They want you to get it done, but they want you to get it done trustworthily. Two, they want both those things as part of good governance. Now, are they willing to sacrifice getting it done for integrity, for transparency and accountability? Well, you tell me. The only way you could tell is what they do come election time. Because you can get results. You know, they told me on occasion that, what is his name, Patrick Manning was the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. He said, and by all accounts, Patrick Manning ran a very good government. Very good government, achieved very good ends for Trinidadians. He said, though, the Trinidadians voted him out. Right? By the same token, there are others in the region whose governments have not the same efficiency or effectiveness or integrity and who got voted in time and time again. Well, so it depends on what people want, but insofar as good governance is concerned, the idea is you get results, but you get those results in observance while observing good governance that lends to the integrity and credibility of the government, because that maintains for the long term people's belief and trust and confidence in the governance machinery. What about you personally? We will come and we will go. But the institutions that we run, people need to have confidence in. And once they lose that confidence, boy, let me tell you something. You have no idea how you eat into all the prosperity, all the stability, all the cohesion you desire in your state. So all I'm saying is, I just want to be clear. I'm saying I am not going to observe commentary that tries to cast aspersion on criticism of the manner in which things were done, because people seem desperate to get something done. That's like saying, my mommy can't feed us. My mommy can't pay her bills. My mommy can't do this, that, and the next thing. The child goes out there and runs drugs, like makes lots of money, comes and brings it home and allows his mommy to be able to feed and do all these kinds of things. And I turn around and say, yeah, but you only need to get it done. The boy now has helped his mommy. Is that... How many people stand to some degree what the child did, but how many would approve of it? Well, that's in a private circumstance, much less your government. Right? That's the point. And so it isn't only a question of whether the government is doing something corrupt, because it may not even be something corrupt. It just may be something that is unethical, or it might be something that is not as appropriate or efficient, as effective as it should be, right? And people have a right to raise those queries, and all you do is you defend your actions, defend your decisions. As for instance, today, when I heard the Prime Minister, he was talking about the players that they use, they are seeking to enter the deal with. He talked about the reason why they chose Island Grid, and he talked about the reason why they use Shell, etc. And I thought, that is how you do it. You give a rationale in the defense of your decision. Now, whether I disagree or agree or disagree with it, that's on me. But you provided an upfront rationale for why you are doing what you're doing. And that is what good governance looks like. And in every other respect, it's good. You don't agree with me using this person, but hey, let me tell you why I'm using them, right? And sometimes the optics may be a little off, you know, but if you believe that this is the best decision and the best way to achieve the end, then you do that. And if that causes you or not, then that's okay. And I'm saying, then you just, When you seek to do the thing that you think to be right, even if others do not, what else can be asked of you? Nothing else. Nothing else, man. I know it feels bad to be criticized. I've been there, done that all the time. I know it feels bad to have spersions cast on your actions. I know it feels bad to have people question your motives. Been there, done that, still there, still doing that. But those bad feelings are part of being human. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a right to, or you can stop them from doing that. What that means is you search your own self and say, listen, self, did you do this the best way? If the answer is no, you say, you know what? I did not do it the best way. And I'm prepared to complain with that or to correct it if I have another chance to do it in the future. And if you think you've done the best you could do, you try to get your feelings to summer and you move the heck on with your life. That's the best you could do. There are people who sit in judgment of you who don't have the clarity of mind to sit in judgment of their own behavior. They want you to change. And like they backside don't need to change. That is as it is. You can't remember that. All you can do is do your best. But don't lie to yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't pretend like... Let me tell you something. When you're in government, Christie, Finland, Ingram, Davis, Minnis, when you're in government, do your public relations. You must. Do your public relations. But for God's sake, don't fool yourself, Mark. If your fish stinks, do not let your public relations go there and call it sweet. Own that up and say, you know what, this fish ain't good. This fish ain't good, and we need to, I'm going to fix that for you and for you and for you. Don't fool yourself. Don't be on here clapping up yourself, patting yourself on the back. If the Bayman people ain't clapping you up and patting yourself on the back, you all listen to me. And your supporters are your supporters. And I promise you, most of them will support you through thick and thin, whether you're doing nonsense or you're not doing nonsense. And the people who are opposed to you will oppose you whether you're doing sense or not doing sense. But there are some people who are observant, who ain't with you or who ain't against you. And you should pray God you have enough of them in your circle to be able to tell you the truth. Because running around talking about how you did such a glory job for people, and the people think differently, that ain't helpful. And let me tell you, be careful. If somebody has done a terrible job, that's what you believe, a very terrible job, meaning if they were being graded, they got an E. And all of a sudden you coming up and you get a D, yes, you did better than them. But if the people want you to get a B and you getting a T, if the people want you to do C work and you getting a D, picking up yourself ain't gonna be helpful to you. The judge of our deeds in terms of the impact of the people's experience. And sometimes for all our efforts for trying, we just can't get the experience to be good enough for them to be good enough. But it's better to know that than to be fooling yourself. You're listening to Z Live, I'm Shabar Lang, your host. We'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Mastercard? I ain't Mastercard. The lady run into me, Mastercard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
A Attention all Dunkin' lovers.
Are you ready to fly away this summer? Dunkin' has an irresistible offer just for you. During the month of June, every purchase of a dozen donuts at Dunkin' enters you for a chance to win big in the Father's Day flyaway. Two lucky winners will jet off on Bahamas Air with round-trip tickets to any Bahamas Air destination. Dads flying on Bahamas Air on Father's Day receive a special Dunkin' treat. Visit Dunkin' today and enter to win in the Father's Day flyaway. The Bahamas flies on Dunkin'.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation. Primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Boy, y'all are very quiet today. Why are y'all so quiet today? I mean, no, I can't, you know, text and calls. What's going on today? Tell me what's going on today. I understand that the AFRI EXIM conference, AFRI EXIM bank meeting was extremely good. Was well attended. Loaded with good information and opportunities for networking. Really good. And that's good. I thought it seemed like it was a little under PR to me, but from what I was told, really an outstanding event. I mean, 3,000 souls, you know, that people be attending any conference. That's good business for the country, and good business for all the attendees who attended. And so, hope more come. I listened to an exchange on the budget about the tourism numbers in the country. The leader of the opposition was challenging not so much the numbers, I gather, as much as he was challenging the fact that we were not performing on the stopover front as well as some of our counterparts in Riga. That while our numbers were going up, they were largely on the cruise visitor side. And that is fairly true. I mean, we certainly have had the bulk of those increases on the cruise visitor side of things. And as far as I'm aware, the increases have been on both the stopover and on the cruise side. Less so on the stopover than the cruise, but in peace anyway. I have always contended on this show that most of our bragging about our numbers, and that's good bragging because the opposite could have been true. You have decreases on both sides, right? And that's not what we have happening. But most of our bragging has been on the fact that we have lots more people coming. Lots more people coming. But I have not heard, and I could be wrong. If you are out there and you have heard differently, I am not hearing any comments that say our expenditure numbers are at record levels. Is there anyone out there who has heard that spending is at record levels? I have not heard it. Because ultimate tourism and tourist visitation is a matter of spending, not increased spending and where that spending is occurring. And I have not heard any statements to that effect. Anybody else is like me, like as an opposite experience from me in that regard, that you have in fact heard differently? This text says, you may not be getting many calls and text messages, but you are preaching well. I always tell people, it seems to me like what happens is on the days when it appears that I may be teaching some, maybe sharing something new, I don't get very many. Is that what happened today? Y'all making me sit out here, I feel like I'm sitting out here alone, man. That's what's happening. So I believe that the Bahamas is having a positive trending in economic performance relative to the pandemic. There's no question about that. That if the argument of the government is we are better off economically, fiscally than we were during the pandemic, that argument cannot be won by anyone stating the opposite. Are we having a better economic experience than pre-pandemic? Not yet. Not yet. When our growth is below what it was in the 2 years prior to the pandemic, just around the same thing. Unemployment is down. That employment rate is down, but there is a bit of technical realities to that. And even if you want to concede the point, I'm prepared to concede the point that it is down, but it is not qualitatively down to the extent of any kind of reasonable boast. We must and know we want to do better than that. Right? Anyone who is desirous of better for the Bahamas wants to do better than that. We're just not there yet. And that's okay. We're not there yet. We're not there yet, and we should want to be better off than that. Dexter, you're correct. You mean that the people are listening? But join this good conversation, though. Join this good conversation. So we'll wrap up the budget. The budget will come into play. Government is proposing revenue intake of $3+ billion and expenditure of $3+ billion, and what have you. The numbers in terms of projections are certainly positive looking numbers. The experience in reality is the thing that will matter the most. I do not believe, and can I say this to you all, and you all not get mad at me? Our budgets do not yet reflect the realities of the government financial circumstances in totality. They do not. Let me tell you why I say that. Because there are outstanding commitments the government has to vendors that I do not believe in totality reflected in the budget. There are, for instance, compulsory land acquisitions that have to be paid for that I don't think are reflected in the budget. There are pension liabilities due that I don't think are adequately reflected in the budget. I think there are overestimations on the revenue side that exaggerates to some degree the budget. And these are things and more are not indicative merely of this administration. The Ministry of Finance and the government are really hard pressed to reflect a budget that can provide reasonable comfort to the public, to the investing community, and so forth. And they are not, you say, Mr. Bagger, does that mean they're lying? They're not lying. They're not lying at all, because you have degrees of probability with respect to revenue projections, and you have control over your expenditure. So you can say, I'm only going to spend $1 million, when in fact you really believe you spend 1.5, because you could, if you had to, not spend $1.5 million. So you have that control. So you're not lying, but if I were putting bets on probability that you would spend the $1.5 million, I'd put it at 90+%, which means then, from my point of view, you're not necessarily reasonably reflecting the likelihood. Because remember, even the Constitution only asks you to estimate. You give estimates of it, right? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Afternoon, Shabab. How are you doing?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
Hey, Mark A. Turnquist. First time caller here, buddy.
Hey, man. It's good to hear from you. What's going on?
Yeah, man. You know, people don't call in because you're such an astute person. You know, people, even myself, be learning from you, you see? Because you've been there, you know, although I've been in small business for 22 years. you've been in government for a long time, so people always listen to you, especially me and my two small business association members, you see.
I hear you, man. I appreciate it.
Listen to you. That's why we don't really call that much. But the reason why I call today is that I really would put together a strategies for the Small Business Act. I know you and I have been talking about it for years.
Yeah.
And we would want some measurement to take place with that because our research is going on, the numbers. So we would like for the Small Business Act to actually materialize, because as you change government, strategy change, and honestly, from the Domestic Investment Broad Fund, every year there's new strategy, right from SMEDA, the Small Business Development Center. Every year, every 5 years, the small business man is being confused. So hopefully, within now and the end of the administration, there could be some type of legislation put in place that we can develop so that there will be change in government and change in focus. Because under the Christie administration, 2012, we work on the program called SMEDA, Small Business Development Center. Now we have a small business development, we have a small business development agency. Now we have a small business development center. So it all is changing, and the focus and strategy change, and there's too much duplications and money being lost. Just something to, to put on the
industry. Well, it changes to some degree, but you would know that entire expression meetup when I was Minister of State, right?
Yeah.
Because the idea really, and what hasn't changed was, the idea was really to merge all of the entities that deal with small and medium-sized businesses, including the Bahamas Development Bank, BAIC, and all those, into a one-stop shop for supporting small and medium-sized businesses, and doing so less as a matter of direct financial subvention than strengthening them for the prospect of getting that wider subvention that exists in the private sector.
Yeah, because the Bahamas Development Bank gets $30 million this year, but you know as well as I know, based on circumstances, small businesses, we need $150 million, but of course, based on constraints and based on the government ability. That's why I'm always an advocate for outside, in reference to central bank, trying to release the constraints and the red tape of getting international funding by the EU, the USAID, and all other international donor organizations. Right?
Because
all
the
money
but
I call money laundering.
But the central bank has done that. The central bank has made it possible for business concerns to access funding from the international community much easier than used to be the case.
It's still difficult. Mm. But we're gonna address that later on in reference on our small business act restraint structure that we launch in this month, trying to get a close that deal, because next 2.5 years we wanna make sure have some type of structure, and I know you're into that long time and You work hard over the years. But just imagine how I work hard over the years. But it's all for the small business development. And all of us will see that the country grow away. And that's very important, man. Thanks so much
for giving the
opportunity, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? Yeah.
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah. All right. Don't you first say the central bank and the DARE bill has made it significantly easier for access to capital. Just some tweaking concerning a means of leaning property or through some form of corporate LLC structure to be, to protect a certain aspect of it. But this just definitely needs some more discussion, but I think we've made a tremendous progress since you were junior minister or whatever it was. But just let me say that I call to tell you the reason why you're not getting any calls. We are just so tired from 2 weeks of linguistic gymnastics and the contortionism has us sore and fatigued, and surely all the digging for the truth could make the most, could tie the best and most fit at me.
You don't think there's any significant dialogue taking place at all?
No, when they came out with this disrupting the status quo, I really I was excited. I really thought something could happen. But that's where the linguistic gymnastic happened. Because, and the contortionism was to come around to almost promote the same thing. Now that you're finished, just list three innovative something that you've done. Surely the BEC is not it. Yeah, because I can, without even knowing the data, I could give you a much simpler, more direct place approach to limit. They're probably dropping our energy by 40%. Without selling our infrastructure and paying down our national debt, utilizing...
Right, the prime minister said that... I heard the prime minister say that there is no sale of assets of BPL.
Yeah, if BPL technically was a management company, he might be correct. They're selling BEC assets. You know, I'm saying to you, right? So far, the prime minister has mentioned about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 deals, who knows? And every single one of them are in negotiation. I mean, what is it you came to the public to say? Exactly, every company he needs, it's in the process of negotiating, and we will let you know. I mean, so what was the announcement, really? We intend to make an announcement. We came to make an announcement that we will soon make an announcement of the deal. Really, what substantively have we been told on that? And that is the most important aspect of our revitalization of the economy. What I saw in that is a shifting of giving Peter one thing and making Peter, because no business in the Bahamas pays for electricity bill. And so all small businesses, medium, large, everything else, when their bill goes up, the bill definitely shift, just simply bill it out or reduce their workforce. And so there's so much things where you take each one on. What they do is they brought a bunch of little things, right, to make this way, and then they just word it to make it appear to be something else. But if you take each one on its own and let each stand on its own, it holds very little water. And I invite Latrey, I invite anyone, to let's have a conversation with it in the public domain. And I sure enough tired. I'm tired. Just digging for the truth, because it's getting to the point where you should be able to trust your government. So it's almost to the point where now I just, people ask me, how do you tell if your government is telling you the untruth? I'm to the point now saying their lips are moving.
I got you, brother.
Thank you. All right,
man. Appreciate it. This text says, good afternoon, sir. Wow, very quiet show. I wonder why. You hear the people I'm telling you why. They listening and learning. Why you quiet? You ain't saying nothing. You normally say something. So Mr. Lang, we are just waiting on the government to call the election. did you hear what this Texas said just now, bro? Their head's spinning. Should I shake my head? The same thing with JDL Management Company for the airport. A lot of confusion. We are tired. There's that call. Let me tell you all what Mr. Ingram used to say to me. And I am not saying this is what happened. Mr. Ingram, but this text who called say, good afternoon, so wow, very quiet, so I wonder why. Let me tell you what Mr. Ingram used to say to me. Mr. Ingram say, Chicago, do you see them constituents still rowing you? Say, if they still rowing you, you have a job. But boy, when they stop rowing. He say, dog, eat your lunch. He said, if they still fussing with you, that means they still care. It matters to them. Say, but if they stop, that's a different story. So there you go. But typically I found that on days when I am explaining things, people have tended to not call in as much. But if I'm just commanding time, I'm commanding on day. That's a different story. Ah, boy.
This deck says, you think they have hangover from yesterday's deep? See, you know. See, Father's Day hangover. You mean Father's got treated that good yesterday? Really? I spent Father's Day with my two youngest children, my youngest son and my only daughter. We went to breakfast first, and then we went to dinner, to lunch. Yeah, it was dinner. We had a good time hanging out with them. My daughter actually paid for my breakfast, so that was a pleasant. That was pleasant. So I have no complaints. It was a good Father's Day. And all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. I trust and hope that you have a wonderful evening. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.